Everybody, welcome to Matt Men. This is a interview special, I guess. That's what we're going to call it here. Live on a Tuesday, which is not a common thing here. But I got a great guest. You know, Matt from Catalyst Wrestling called me. He appeared on Wrestling Observer Live with me a couple weeks ago. He's like, hey, listen, you want to have O'Shea Edwards on? I'm like, you don't even need to tell me anything more. Absolutely, let's do this. Big Catalyst Wrestling show coming up January 15th, this weekend, this Saturday. In Brooklyn, Catalyst Wrestling returns to Brooklyn with their return show, Ewing. A lot of great talent on this card, obviously, and we're going to talk to O'Shea Edwards about him being on this card, but we have ROH Pure Champion Josh Woods, Catalyst Wrestling Champion Darius Carter, Sapphire TV Champion Steve Gepke, and a whole lot more. Homicide is also on there. Kobe Carino's on there. Tons and tons of stuff going on. Bobby Orlando. Definitely telling you guys to go check it out. Brown Paper Tickets is where you could get the tickets. Obviously, tinyurl.com/EwingNYC. tinyurl.com/EwingNYC. Now that we got that over with, I want to introduce my guest, O'Shea Edwards. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, partner? How are you, man?
Doing good, man. You know, a lot to talk to you about. Obviously, you're on this card. You're on the show this Saturday. A big show, big return back to New York City in Brooklyn. I think, you know, going from Jersey to New York, not that you're nothing's wrong with Jersey. Love Jersey, but still New York City, right? You're in New York City.
Yeah. No, man, actually, I'm actually located out of Baltimore, but I'm like a 3-hour drive from New York City, man, so it's just like a hop, skip, jump for me.
Very easy drive. I want to talk to you about, you know, the state of the indies, because you started in 2016, which, for me, you know, I think the boom from 2014 to the pandemic, you know, the independents were really exploding. A lot of talent was getting eyeballs on them due to the internet and how everything's been going. You know, I was talking to one of my buddies and he was telling me, he's like, listen, but the only buzz that people really got before that was anything you did in PWG, and you had to wait for either somebody to rip a clip and post it or, buy the DVD. But, you know, from 2014 on, we saw this boom in content for independent wrestling. What was that like getting started, you know, in that interesting period where way more eyeballs were on, you know, indie guys?
It was weird. It was weird because at the time I didn't really, there's no playbook. There's no real, there's a wrong way to do it, but there's no real like definitive right way to do it. So a lot of guys are trying to finding their own way and trying to help others to kind of find their own way as well. I was lucky because when I got started into this, I was more of, I was already kind of more of a professional before all this got started. So it was just one of those things of where, like, if I needed to know something, like I knew who to go to and all that good stuff. So for that, I'm kind of grateful for. But as time grew on, like, I kind of understood what it was. And so it's, like I said, it's just one of those things of where, you know, it's at a time to where, like, you know, guys are having to better themselves. And it works pretty well. I bet on myself a lot of times. I'm still betting on myself. So it's just becoming one of those things of where, you know, if you aren't your number one fan, like, you can't be mad if no one else is. So, you know, this is a great time to be a wrestler, depending on how you look at it. People always have something negative to say, but being negative is too easy.
I think I had a Raven on years ago, and one of the very insightful things he said on that interview, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit, but he said, if you're not the biggest fan for yourself, who's going to be that guy? And I always thought about that, you know, and it really kind of changes your perspective on seeing how things work. You know, I want to ask you, you know, what got you started in pro wrestling? Obviously you played football. I think a lot of people know that, but what was that moment for you that you said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get into pro wrestling.
Man, it was, I think I've been a wrestling fan since I was little, and it just got to a point too where I was kind of watching it, man. I was like, man, I feel like I can do this. Like, I don't know why, but I was like, yeah, I can try this. And then at the same time, was even if I don't pan out, at least I can say I kind of went for it. And then the very first day, is very rarely do people get a chance to like do something for the first time and they're like a duck into water. And I just had it. It just felt natural, felt good. Like I said, I'm, despite the size, like I can control my body really well. I have great, you know, footwork from football and all that good stuff. So, you know, I can gauge myself pretty well, but it was the first time I got to the ring. I was like, nah, I got this. Like this was in the bag.
I always find that interesting because there's a ton of people out there that, you know, listen, I follow wrestling since I was 4 years old. I come from a bodybuilding family, not that people could tell.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was always like, you know, wrestling was always on the TV because bodybuilding competitions weren't really on. And my father, my mm-hmm. grandfather, they were really big wrestling fans. I've always thought, hey, you know what? I would love to do this. I've never thought I could do this. And it takes a very different type of person to say, go from, I would like to do this, I could do this, I'm doing this. And I'm always fascinated by, you know, the mental prep that you have to do to say, you know, I'm going to go into this crazy industry of really tough guys. You know, I think everybody knows the story of pro wrestling. I don't have to educate people on it, but it's not an easy gig at all. It's not, you're not pretending. It is grueling to go through training and to go and work. Was it harder or was it easier? Was it what you expected when you went into it?
It was a little harder outside of the wrestling ring. That's the one thing most schools don't teach you is the hustle. You know, I always say, you know, the dream is free, but the hustle sold separately. So, I mean, I guess one of the hardest things is really learning outside the ring. Inside the ring, it was easy. Picking that up was kind of, I had it. It's athletics. I got it. But that's the one thing that most schools aren't teaching is the business side of things of how to present yourself, how to write a resume, how to contact promoters, how to negotiate a price and value yourself without getting took, you know, getting your trans taken care of, this, that, and the other. Like I said, man, it's just one of the few things that most places aren't teaching because most places don't know. And so you have to, it's kind of like a trial by fire. And it's kind of one of the reasons why most people kind of fall off by the wayside because the amount of work that takes is a lot. And no one's really telling you, like, how much work that's going to be.
Yeah, the business side, absolutely, because you are your own business. You're an independent contractor. You determine your mm-hmm. rates. Do you feel that guys undersell themselves sometimes?
Constantly. And the only reason why I say it is because I do it. I do it, too. Because you don't want to price your spot of work, but you don't want to undersell yourself. So this is fine line that you got to play of, okay, how much is this worth? And I was always told, like, the three E's of experience, exposure, and expense. You try to get all three, but you'll always take two. And if you take one, it better be one hell of a thing. I better be getting some hellified experience, some hellified exposure, or I better be getting a hellified expense paid. So that's kind of how I always took it. If I can get all three, great, but I'm aiming for two.
It's always interesting to me. So, you know, obviously you debut 2016, you start your career, things are rolling, things are moving well, and then 2020 happens, and I think this is a story for a lot of people. Actually, before that, I would say, you know, a lot of independent talent got signed. You know, a lot of talent depleted to go to either WWE or NXT or AEW now that they're, you know, they're 2 years in. So you go through that, obviously, and everybody else, and then things start heating up again and the pandemic happens. How did that impact, you know, that stop for you or the stop and go for you? How was that the last, I guess, 20 some odd months as far as, you know, limited availability to book stuff, wrestling in front of nobody? You know, what was that? Just that experience overall.
Oh, man, it sucked. It really sucked.
And we're still going through it, right?
Right, still going through it. You know, it sucked. But what I had to also have to realize was I wasn't the only one. It was a giant reset for everybody. Everybody had to stop their race and brought everybody back to the starting line. And for some guys, you had X amount of months to build the vehicle. Like I said, it sucked. But it was a giant reset for everybody. And everybody had a chance to really define what type of vehicle they were going to be in. And for me, I built a rocket ship because there's no rearview mirrors on a rocket ship. They just keep moving forward. I had no intention of looking back. And it got a chance for me to redefine a few things and learn how to, you know, produce quality content and quality promos and character development, all that good stuff. So I just use that time wisely. And then when, you know, people started venturing back out again, you started to see, like, okay, cool, these are the guys putting in the work. Because, like you said, there's limited availability. So you have to put your best foot forward. And I made sure that everything I did was going to be my best foot.
You know, with everything going on now, things are coming back. But unfortunately, Ring of Honor's on a pause period right now. They ran their last show a couple mm-hmm. of weeks ago. You know, growing up, big Ring of Honor fan since they started. I mean, it really changed the perspective of what the industry could be with quality of wrestling and different size guys, different mismatch, and really concentrating on the pro wrestling aspect of it. We're seeing they are coming back in April. I hope they come back bigger and better, obviously, because the more there's an abundant amount of talent right now available to be on TV. What's your hopes for that when they do come back?
My phone rings.
I mean, listen, you got to get that phone call, right? I mean, you're fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's that some stuff like that's outside of my control. You know, I can only deal with within the realm of like stuff that I can actually handle. Even when Ring of Honor had, you know, when we were told, hey, we're going on a hiatus minute, it sucked, and it, you know, we kind of like let ourselves have it for a minute. But then we're
did
like,
it come
it
as a surprise, or were you seeing it come?
Yes, yeah, both. I kind of saw it coming, but no matter how much you get ready, you're still never ready. You know, and it sucked to hear. And the way some of us found out kind of sucked. But once again, though, it is what it is. So it's either we can sit here and just wallow in self-pity or we get back to work. For me, you know, I kind of stayed booked up. I kind of thrive on being outcome independent of people and situations so that no matter what happens, I'm always going to make sure that I'm taken care of one way or another. I wanted to be in Ring of Honor is the reason why I moved here in the first place. To me, that was always my level of success. You know, if anybody else called, that's great. But I always wanted to say I stood in a Ring of Honor ring and no one could ever take it from me.
Dude, I listen, most people can't say that. you brought up, you grew up on wrestling. You were a big wrestling fan growing up. Who were your favorites? Like, who did you look up to? Who were you inspired by when you got in the business?
When I first started watching wrestling, I loved Ahmed Johnson. I look back at now like, dude, why?
Dude,
but
me too.
Even still,
you don't need to apologize. I'm gonna tell you what. I was such a big fan of Ahmed Johnson where I would go online and I would read. I mean, this is like the forum days, right? 1996.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a kid.
Angel
still.
Fire days, man.
Yeah, yeah, Angel Fire days. Yeah. I was like a kid. You know, I think we're about around the same. I'm in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
And I would go on there. I'm like, why are these people talking shit about Ahmed? I'm like, this guy's
Ahmed's
great.
Cool.
And I'll tell you what ruined him for me. Some idiot on a message board wrote that he wears his arm protectors on his thighs. Right?
Yeah.
And after that, I can never unsee it. I can never unsee it. But the dude was what a gigantic total package guy.
He was.
It just didn't.
And as I got older, and I started to like understand wrestling. I was like, oh man, dude, Ahmed Johnson's garbage. he's not good. But even still, this nostalgia was always there. But as I got to the business, and you know, I started understanding that how deep wrestling went, in terms of independence, I started getting into like Doom. Like I love Butch Reed, man. I love Butch Reed. Watching Ron Simmons, like Bobby Eaton. You know, Bobby Eaton, Stan Hansen, you know, Tully Blanchard, you know, all those boys. I was a big All Japan guy for a while, just watching, you know, guys come in and just take each other's heads off. I'm like, yo, this is some stuff right here. And then even still, like, I'm still a fan of wrestling. I may not watch as much as everyone else does, but I'm still a fan of wrestling because I'm a storyteller. I love to be able to tell stories without having to say a single word.
You know, for me, it's funny because my exposure with All Japan started. I went to this store by me. It's called, I think you might be know, Wrestling Universe.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a lot of autograph signings happen there. I went there to buy a Dragon Ball Z. I think it was like the Cell Saga or something, right? Like on VHS, like a bootleg version of it.
Great series, by the way.
I ended up not getting it because they didn't sell it there. I don't know who told me. My buddy Harry told me that they had it there. I ended up coming back with like all this like All Japan stuff. I bought these VHSs and I was like, I've never seen this. I just wanted to see it because they had it playing on the TV. I bought that and I think I bought the IWA Deathmatch stuff with Funk and Cactus and I was hooked. That was it. Like
nice.
That introduced me to a whole different genre of pro wrestling. And I think that's the amazing thing about wrestling is that, you know, you could have all different calibers of quality, different types of stuff. You could have comedy wrestling. You could have serious stuff. You could have wacky stuff that you see regularly on TV now. It's one of those weird genres that it kind of splinters. and you can create a different character for you. Yeah. And there's no wrong way of doing it. If it works, it works.
Wrestling is for everybody. Yeah. Wrestling is for everybody, man. There's something out there for you. It's just one of those things of where, like, you know, you just got to find it. But once you find it, man, have a ball.
So current day wrestling, what are you enjoying the most?
Honestly, nothing. Nothing on TV. Impact's really fun. I catch Impact when I can. Impact's really fun to watch. Nowadays, I'm just kind of watching individual matches as they come to me. I do my own film study. But some of the stuff that comes on TV now, honestly, I just don't have the time to sit and watch. So I kind of catch the clips, and then, you know, Twitter helps as well.
Twitter does help a lot, especially when you're covering it all the time. You brought up Impact, which is fascinating. Right now, Impact is, I guess, the territory where everybody could go, and everybody wants to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
They've become this kind of hub for talent to be discovered and older talent to be re-seen. Right now with Ring of Honor, is that something that you're hopeful for, to kind of start working over there a little bit and maybe start doing other TV stuff?
I want to work everywhere, but I'm not going to lie. Since I started working TV, now that's all I want to do is just work TV. It's such a experience to work TV, to know where you are and not know where you are at the same time. It's great. It just adds another complexity to things that I've already enjoyed already. So I love the indies. Indies are great, but young man, put me on TV.
Listen, I get it. You're on TV. You want to stay on TV. It's fantastic. And this is a great card coming up, and I want to talk about this in Brooklyn this Saturday. The big show for everybody. If you're watching any of the shows that we're doing, I highly recommend you go to the show. You're gonna have NWA World's Heavyweight Champion Trevor Murdoch on it. You're gonna have a bunch. The talent on this card. I think this is the most stacked card that they've had at Catalyst Wrestling. I mean, one of the reasons you're on it, right? Totally stacked card. What are you looking forward to on Saturday here?
I'm not gonna lie, man. I've keep being told I'm the number one contender for a Sapphire title, and I'm still waiting. So I don't know what it's gonna take to finally, like, get that in the books, because I've kind of beaten everybody I was supposed to beat. I've done everything I was supposed to do, and I kind of feel like that, you know, I'm getting, you know, HC and everything. It's just kind of like, yo, what is this? Like, there's no knock on him. Like, that dude's a Ring of Honor original. Like, he's a former tag champ. Like, so I get it. But I'm like, yo, man, like, once again, like, what is this? Like, this isn't what I was told I was supposed to get. Like, where's Gripke? Like, where is he? Because I got a date with Destiny, and I'm not trying to be late for it.
So, you know, it gets a little complicated here because we're doing an interview, and now we got to talk about the other job, right? Hang on, you just got cut off. Right. There we go. Now,
like,
we're back. So I don't know if you know this. I'm the head of the committee to make these matches for the Sapphire Television Championship. Right now, you are the number one contender. But your opponent is not here.
So what's the guy do with me?
My hands are tied here.
How are your hands tied? You run the place.
All right. How about we do this?
Like, there's no reason for you. Like, okay, talk to me.
How about we do this? How about we create an interim title?
I'm listening.
You and Loke. Since you are the number one contender, therefore, this is your shot. Would that work?
Okay. All right. And I'm assuming when Gripke comes back, we'll settle this the old-fashioned way.
We will settle it the old-fashioned way with you and Gripke.
All right, man, you got a deal.
All right, let's do it. See, that wasn't that bad. I got kind of pressured. I got pushed against the wall here. I don't think Matt's going to be happy. I don't think the committee's going to be happy that I did this. Sometimes we got to talk about these things, but
you say that now until, like, they realize, like, what the gate is. They'll be all right.
All right. I think we can figure this out. I think we could get this going.
Yeah, man. Like, dude, you got to do. You run the place. So, like, just
Listen,
make it
sometimes your
happen.
hands are tied here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, all right, you know what? We're doing it. All right, I'll let them know we're doing it. This is the match.
Yeah, it's
All good.
smart on your part because listen, who do you want coming after you? The committee coming after you, or do you want me coming after you?
I don't want O'Shea Edwards coming after me. I'll tell you that. The committee I could deal with.
It's so really you're just taking the lesser of two evils. So I mean, hey man, it's a smart move. No
I
one's
think I'm doing the
not Johnny
smart
Rose
move
could
here.
convict you for that.
I'm doing the smart move
I
here.
think you are too.
Listen,
Yeah, you are.
and
You've been
very
very smart.
deserving, and very deserving. This is a very deserving thing. It's not a handout. This is very much deserved, right? That's how we're doing this.
It's been earned. It's been earned. It's been earned. I've gone through the channels. I'm just tired of waiting.
Dude, listen, no wait anymore. This Saturday,
Okay.
we got Catalyst Wrestling. You're there. Let's get this going. Let's figure this out. This is a big show. I want to see what happens. I may stop by. I may see what's going on this week.
Come on.
Listen, but no
Come
promises. What
through and
are
see
you
the
going to do? What are
fruits
you going to
of.
do if it doesn't work out your way?
I mean, we'll deal with that one later.
All right,
But
we'll
right
figure it
now,
out from there.
things can't work out my way if I don't get the shot.
We'll figure it out from there. Listen, O'Shea Edwards,
That's it, man.
everybody. I'm pleased to have you on. I would love to do this again when we have some
Yes.
more time to sit down. Listen, after everything happens, after the title match, after you as a number one contender. This works out, I want to have you back on. If it doesn't work out, don't blame me.
Fair enough. I'm a
Fair enough.
businessman. I'm not.
All
I'm not.
right,
I'm not a
there you
moss
go.
like most people
So
say.
am I.
Businessman.
So am I. Where can people find you, man?
Man, you can find me on Twitter at Big BIG Bad BAD Kaiju KAIJU on Twitter. Instagram, same thing. Big Bad Kaiju, period after single word. I'm on Facebook. You can try to add me, but good luck. I'm not probably gonna add you back.
Perfect. O'Shea Edwards, everybody. Catalyst Wrestling this Saturday in Brooklyn, Ewing, January 15, 2022. Phenomenal show. Head on over to tinyurl.com/EwingNYC. That's tinyurl.com/EwingNYC and get your tickets there. We'll see you all next time, everybody. Take care.